You can hear performance today, this afternoon at 1 and this evening at 8 here on WMUK 102.1 FM, online at WMUK.org from Western Michigan University. It's 7 minutes after 10. I'm Kara Lawrence. My guests today are Andrew Rathbun and Christopher Biggs, two professors in the School of Music at Western Michigan University, and they're here to talk about a concert tonight featuring the Advanced Jazz Ensemble from the School of Music. Welcome, Andrew and Christopher.
Hi, Kara.
Hello.
Nice to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Well, I'm going to give you the heavy lifting. Tell me about tonight's event.
So tonight's event is a collaboration between the Advanced Jazz Ensemble, which I direct, and Chris, who is someone I've admired for a long time, ever since I got here. It was really fun to go online and check out his music and check out what he's into. And, you know, he has such a wide breadth of experience and skills. So I thought he would be a fantastic person to collaborate with. And that's something I've tried to do with this group ever since I took it over 5 years ago, is do different collaborations. So we've collaborated with this Frostic School of Art. We did something with the dance. Last year, we collaborated with David Coulson's group Birds on a Wire, the contemporary ensemble, where we sort of joined forces. And my students in the group wrote for that sort of expanded ensemble. And this year, I proposed to Chris that he collaborate with us, where the guys in the group write some pieces, you know, sort of with some little spaces, little windows and doors for Chris to kind of put his stamp on the music. So he's sort of doing these sort of sonic explorations and real-time digital manipulations. And I'll let him talk more about that because he's much more equipped to tell you the ins and outs of that than I am. But it's resulted in some really – what I think is some – really amazing music and really different sounding music. And the students, the ensemble, are just hitting the roof. They just think this is a fantastic opportunity for them, and they're really enjoying the results.
So, Chris, you weren't on faculty too much earlier than Andrew. Did you meet him and look at his music as well?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, he was hired. You got here 1 year after me.
You 1 year.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was, like, really excited that he was coming in, and I checked out everything he was doing, and he's been great to have him here.
Yeah. What did you think of this collaboration idea?
I didn't know exactly what to think. I mean, I was excited about it and really willing to go forward, but it's been things that I didn't expect. Like, I knew how good the students were, but I didn't really know how good they were. And how musical they were, and how adaptive, and like the group is just much unbelievably good. Like they're much better than I imagined. And I also learned how much fun this is to do. I had no idea it would be so much fun. Like I got these pieces, and it's not what I normally do. I don't usually do live electronics for music that other people write. So I get these pieces, and I'm looking at them, the diversity and like the kind of the detail, and they're all written out very specifically. And then the students kind of like gave me ideas about what to do. And then working that out and, you know, programming the computer to do all the different things they wanted was a lot of fun. And I think it's definitely like interesting, and it's really fun just to actually play with them and experiment.
And so, I think that's an important point. It's like whatever Chris has done, it's not like he's just plugging in a computer and doing things. He's built everything basically from the ground up. So it's like when someone makes you an incredible meal from scratch rather than like ordering in. He's built everything from scratch, which is kind of amazing.
Hmm. Now, you're talking about pieces that weren't assigned to the students, but that the students developed themselves?
So at the very beginning of the year, I said, we're going to do this collaboration, so I want you to start to write pieces with that in mind. So things where there's, again, like spaces. Or opportunities or things that aren't so super dense. Sometimes in jazz we get a little too, you know, the piece starts and the piece ends and it's really dense, you know, harmonically, rhythmically, melodically from the top to the bottom. So I said, you can't do that because he's going to need some room. You're going to have to create some room. So that's what they did. And I think they've done it with a fairly high degree of success.
The results will be on display tonight at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Concert begins at 7:30, but you can arrive a little earlier at 7 p.m. and get a sneak peek into the process with a live and interactive session at 7 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. My guests here today are Andrew Rathbun, who directs the Advanced Jazz Ensemble, and Christopher Biggs, who's a professor of music composition at Western and specializes in using programming and electronics in new music. And we'll be talking a little later about what's coming up this weekend, which is a festival you founded. Was that with Dr. Coons?
No, Splice. It's just it's with external people.
Okay. Yeah. Splice Festival is coming up this weekend. So there's a great chance to hear brand new music this week at Western Michigan University. Maybe you can tell me a story about a piece of music that was that's going to be on the program tonight.
Wow. Well, I didn't write any of the music, so I can't really give you the backstory on the pieces. But I can tell you about Matt Epperson's piece, Lullaby, which is very interesting because he was interested in trying to do something that's a little different temporally than what we're normally used to in jazz. So there isn't really like a set tempo of that piece. It kind of weaves in and out of some different tempos, or there's sort of a rubato melody that's going on, and then another part of the group is playing in a specific tempo, or there's yet another part of the piece where the rhythm section, primarily the bass player and the drummer, kind of go in and out of different tempos that they sort of determine. So the piece has like an illusion to it. Like if I was listening to it, I didn't know about this, the way it's constructed. It might trick me in a way.
You're making me think of The Unanswered Question by Charles Ives, that piece that works on three different levels. Seems to be in their own, own world.
And then the other element of and then adding Chris into that on top of that just gives it this whole other really interesting layer. And at the beginning of the piece and at the end of the piece, there's a poem that has been manipulated. So you can sort of tell like, oh, there's words going on, but they've sort of been affected to the point where you kind of can't really tell what the person is saying in a way, but you know it's something. So it's so abstracted that, you know, you can't really tell what's going on. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, Matthew wrote a poem, and he said he wanted it to be the introduction, and so we recorded another jazz singer reading the poem. And I didn't know how much he wanted me to manipulate it, so we manipulated it. We played it in rehearsal, and he said, I don't want the words to be understandable. So I went back, and I tried to do different things to make it so certain words pop out, and certain words are colored in a certain way, so you might hear a word, but then it goes back into kind of a hazy fuzz. And then at the end of the piece, more unaltered recordings of the voice are presented, so you can hear the text spoken over the end of the piece.
How often have you been able to work with the group or with individuals from the group to make these pieces come together?
Well, actually, I worked with Matthew the most just because we had the recording. But we did 4 rehearsals, mm-hmm. and then we collaborated just on Google Drive, going back and forth on, oh, I can do this or that. And then sometimes I said I could do this, and then maybe I didn't find that it worked very well, and I did something else. And they've been super adaptive to whatever I ended up doing, so that was great.
For your part, do you work on your contribution solo and listening on speakers and working with reference recordings?
Yeah, so they recorded at the end of the last semester. They recorded themselves playing all the pieces, and then I just put those recordings into the program and, like, you know, added markers so I could start and stop at different places, and then I would program something that I thought would work with that. And then I would, you know, hit buttons. So what the basic setup for this for the pieces is I have a controller with a bunch of pads and buttons, and those pads know things more than you might think a pad would. It knows my X and Y placement on it, and it knows my pressure. So for instance, I can hit a button, record a sound file, right? So they're playing, I record what they're playing, and then I can hit the pad associated with that sound file. And, you know, as I move my finger on the X-axis, it changes the speed that the sound file playback. And as I move it on the Y-axis, it changes pitch. And then as I change pressure, it changes volume. And then all of that layer of sound files might be fed into a variety of effects. And then another pad will have X, Y, and pressure mapped to the parameters of those effects. So I have a lot of actual options to play with. And then I also have a keyboard, right, that I can play. So I sample them in real time and then play back, you know, like with pitch variation, what they played.
You've built this equipment and the programs that work with it yourself, right?
Just the software. So the the little controller, I don't, no electrical engineering or anything.
You adapted the equipment for your needs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At this point, do you work basically intuitively? Are you able to just hear and adapt and play and manipulate pretty much without things getting in your way and having to reprogram things or...
No, I don't think not that far, but what I would say is that, so this is the first time I've done this type of thing. Normally I'm programming computers to move through predefined states. So like the state is predefined and like what happens is very complex, but the way to get to that specific complexity is pressing the space bar. And then the next state will be press the space bar and it just counts space bar presses. And those space bar presses are linked to whatever the computer needs to do at any moment in the music. In this case, you know, I'm manipulating and changing things in the moment. And it's kind of like playing an instrument. And I built that instrument, you know, in December and I practiced that instrument for a few weeks. So I'm getting better and I'm having a lot of fun. I think the outcomes are very good. I'm not like expert at playing that instrument. You know, it'd be fun to define and refine it to the point where, you know, I was able to go into any situation and be highly adaptive to what other musicians are doing. But I'm not been playing the saxophone my whole life, right? I just like have this thing and it's actually a little different setup for every piece. So different buttons do different things for every piece. So I have I'm like a C performer right now, but I'm actually the best in the world because no one else is playing this.
And that's something we talked about. Like I said, I want you to sort of come into our world and improvise with texture and sound and digital manipulation, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a big part of what Chris is doing. I mean, he kind of has an idea of like the zones and where it's headed and what kind of sounds he's going to get. But I think it's different every time. It's not exactly the same every time, which is the whole conceit of improvised music. We don't want it. It's different every night. So, you know, success.
And it sounds like you also get to push yourself as a performer and a musician in this direction. And that's only good for you.
It's great. And like I was saying, it's so much more fun. Like it's a lot of fun to do. Yeah.
I like that you're using the material that's you're not grabbing it from an outside source. It's from within the piece, and the players themselves are going to be hearing themselves, only they won't recognize themselves necessarily through the way you're manipulating the sound.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's kind of like the poem. I mean, there are snippets where he grabs something from the group, and you can hear that it came from somewhere else, but then it starts to morph into something that doesn't sound like that anymore.
This concert begins at 7:30 p.m. tonight, and it's a collaboration between the Advanced Jazz Ensemble and electronics performer Christopher Biggs. Both and Andrew Rathbun is director of the ensemble. Both are on the faculty at Western Michigan University. And this concert tonight features six different pieces by different members of the Advanced Jazz Ensemble. You mentioned Matthew Epperson. I know he's a bassist.
Yes.
And is involved with lots of projects around town.
Yes.
Perhaps we could look at something by Eddie Codrington.
Yeah. His piece called Obsidian Galaxy.
Now, this is a reference recording that was made.
Yes, this is a very lo-fi recording made on a small little Zoom device. But I thought, you know, we'll give people a little taste of what's to come.
Okay. I'm with Andrew Rathbun and Christopher Biggs.
Thank you.
And that, my friends, is a teaser for tonight's concert.
It's more than a teaser. That was the whole tune.
For the Advanced Jazz Ensemble, collaborating with electronics manipulator Christopher Biggs. The concert is part of the Bullock Performance Institute series, and that's posted online, including ticket information. That's at the School of Music website, wmich.edu/music/events. Tickets available through the MillerAuditorium.com box office site. And my guests here today are two professors of music at Western, Christopher Biggs himself and Andrew Rathbun, who's the director of the Advanced Jazz Ensemble. And we just heard a piece by Eddie Codrington. Any more you can tell us about Eddie?
He's a really bright young man, one of my favorite students. He's, you know, shows a lot of promise as a composer, and he's really come a tremendous way as a long way as a saxophone player. He's a very fine saxophone player, very curious, very studious.
Where did he come from?
He came from Ann Arbor.
East Side.
Yeah, he was sort of in that scene over there, and still goes back to play there and work there and stuff. So, yeah, he's going to do great things.
There are how many people in the Advanced Jazz Ensemble?
There are 9 of us.
9.
Yeah, so 5 horns, 4 rhythm section.
And how long has this lineup been together?
Well, it's, you know, it changes year to year. So, I mean, just basically this year, there's a couple new people, a couple people from the last go around. So it's kind of like a sports team at a school in a way. Some people graduate, you get some fresh faces. You know, I'm going to lose a lot of them. Next year, it's going to be a really new group next year. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to squeeze every last drop of whatever I can out of them while they're here.
You mentioned taking the Advanced Jazz Ensemble and each year finding another art form to bring into the mix. Why do you think that's so important?
Well, first and foremost, because the academy is the easiest place to do that. It's much more challenging when you get out into the big, bad, real world to make that happen financially, time-wise, scheduling-wise. So that's one reason. And I just thought it would be first interesting, hopefully artistically satisfying, and also trying to expand the audience a little bit. You know, when we did the dance or the collaboration with the School of Dance, you know, it just... I thought some of their people would check out what we're doing. We're checking out what they're doing. We're learning about how their field works. They're learning about how our field works. They get to dance to live music, which they don't all the time. So, and that just energized them and took them to a new place. And I just think it's a little, you know, it expands everyone's boundaries a little bit and what's possible, what's out there. So those are just some of the reasons why I like to collaborate.
What's some of the feedback you've gotten, Christopher, about from these young jazz players who are sort of for the first time really incorporating new sounds into a traditional jazz group?
I haven't gotten a lot of feedback. So we set up, we rehearse. I they'll give me some like notes, like maybe on what I've done, like, oh, more here or less there. It's like many things. It's just fast. Like, we just have to set up and take our time to really just hammer out and get everything functioning.
Well, for the piece we just heard, everything sounds really organic and put together, not mm-hmm. just things popping up here and there. But
So I kind of rehearsed with the sound files that they gave me before, and then we played it, and then they listened, and then they just said basically more or less. I mean, and, you know, I'm like kind of like I teach here, so they might be, you know, not super comfortable saying a whole lot of things to me. But that's how it's been going, right?
Super comfortable with me, and it's been nothing but laudatory. They're like, this is such a great experience. So they've been really excited about it and very energized. It's fun to see them get excited, really excited about something new and really energized. And I feel exactly the same way. Like, I'm super energized and really excited, you know, because nobody's really done this. I mean, not nobody out in the artistic world, but here we've never really tried something like this before. It's really a new thing for us and for me too. It's something I've always wanted to explore. There's been a couple examples. Like, I told Chris about a few examples of not doing it live, but on record. You know, there's this really great guitar player named David Torn who's done this on a couple ECM records for some different artists, taking the music and doing little manipulations with it that are super subtle and kind of in the background. I can't think of really anything off the top of my head in jazz where there's sort of a third party who's kind of doing things. There's a couple examples of like DJs, but this is way beyond DJs. Like this is a little, I think it's a little more sonically interesting and way more interactive. And there's just there's way more texture and layers to it.
John Campos is a sound engineer teacher at the School of Music. And I was wondering if there is a sound engineer student or someone that involved in this project as well.
Yeah, so we have sort of two. We have a graduate student from the MAT program. No,
so there's a graduate composer who doesn't really know about technology, but he can read the scores. And he writes down what I do, mm-hmm. and then he's in charge of the volume of what I do. And then there's students in the undergrad technology program who the jazz department has partnered with to run all these events. And they will help set up today and all that kind of stuff and get the sound good. And they're solid. They're really good with the technology and oversight and management.
Yeah, it's one of the most important one of the things you want to make sure won't fail when you're presenting music that requires amplification,
sure.
and or processing,
sure.
you know. So this takes a lot of people behind the scenes as well
as
on stage.
It does. It really does. Yeah, it does. Definitely.
So again, it's at 7:30 tonight. At 7, however, you can show up early for a live and interactive session to get behind the scenes with it. And that'll be hosted by David Colson, I believe.
Oh.
The Advanced Jazz Ensemble with Christopher Biggs tonight as part of the Bullock Performance Institute series. Another piece of music, perhaps. Why don't we
Sure. What should
take
we do,
a listen?
Lullaby or Eleanor?
Your call.
We talked about the lullaby at the beginning of this program, so why don't we play that?
All right. I'm with Andrew Rathbun and Christopher Biggs. That's a piece called Lullaby 01 by Matthew Epperson, a member of the Advanced Jazz Ensemble. And if you tuned in during the music, we're listening to basically a rehearsal recording for the premiere of the work, which will happen tonight.
Yes.
My guests are Andrew Rathbun and Christopher Biggs. Christopher Biggs is an electronics maestro who is bringing these sounds to the ensemble tonight in a collaboration with the students, directed by Andrew Rathbun. Again, the details, 7:30 tonight.
Yes.
With the Advanced Jazz Ensemble, 9 players, you said?
9 pieces plus Chris. Even 10.
And what will we see? We'll mostly see people set up in a traditional way with a variety of recognizable instruments, or?
Oh, yeah. You'll see everyone with recognizable instruments. Two of the guys in the group play what's called an iwi, an electronic wind instrument. So those are these sort of rectangular devices that they blow into that have buttons on them that respond to the speed of the breath, and the pitch responds to the keys on the instrument. They play those on Eddie's piece, Obsidian Galaxy. You'll see that, and then you'll see Chris. I'm not exactly sure how it's going to look yet, because we'll know when we do the sound check this afternoon the best way to go about it. But it'll look somewhat traditional. I think you'll see lots of microphones and wires and cables, and you know, there'll be an extensive setup in order to realize the, you know, both the acoustic and the electronic aspects of the sound.
Not being a performer yourself, what was it like to hear the results? I know you got these reference recordings not too long ago.
Yeah, no, it's been amazing. It's amazing. I mean, I was just so over the moon with how they sound. I think they're so interesting. And
we heard so many varieties of manipulation in this last.
Yeah, no, it's truly staggering. And I think, to be quite frank, I think a reason for that is we're sort of framing him as like an electronics guy. He's quite a bit more than that. He's a really fine composer. He just wrote a beautiful string quartet for the Prism Quartet. Was premiered. That was like a month ago. It feels like 2 years ago. But I mean, it's a staggering piece of music. It's really it's an exceptional saxophone quartet. I think it's going to stay in their repertoire. I think they're going to play it quite a bit. So I think he brings something else to the table that, again, sort of someone who is maybe just a little bit more confined to electronics, it'd be more difficult. I think someone like that would take a lot longer to find their way into the music. I mean, we've only done this 4 times. Chris has found his way into the music really quickly because he's a really fine all-around musician, you know, electronics and this sort of soundscaping stuff is just one small element of his oeuvre, so to speak. And that's another reason why I knew he'd be a great collaborator, is because he would very quickly be able to digest what the guys had written and how to find his own way into that. And again, how to improvise within that framework.
Right. It strikes me that within the last 6 years since you've been here, and along with Lisa Kunz, you've made this a very, very friendly home for brand new music by making sure composers of new music from far and wide make this a stop and a place to work with students and perform. And that's very true for this weekend, at least, right? Mm-hmm. What's coming up?
Yeah, so this weekend we have Splice Festival. So every summer we do something called Splice Institute, which is a week-long summer program where we bring, you know, about 40 people come in for it, 40 to 50 plus faculty. And we, you know, put people together to write new music for instruments and electronics. And we try to work with performers in particular to learn how to perform without any kind of audio technician. So the performer can perform electronics on their own, right? Because that's not part of the curriculum for performance in music schools, but it's a good skill to have. So they can set up a computer, you know, a microphone and everything, and get a flute and live electronics piece functional without any help. So we do that in the summer. And then because we had so many large pieces that we've done through that, we decided to do an inter-year academic festival. And that's going to be this weekend, Friday to Saturday. All the concerts are in Dalton Center. All the concerts are free and open to the public. And all the information is at splicemusic.org. Mm-hmm. And so we're having people come from all over. Someone's coming from London. You know, we have people coming from California and New York, and it's quite an exciting program. There's concerts on Friday at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. and Saturday at 11, 3:30, and 8 p.m.
5 concerts.
Mm-hmm.
And pieces no one will have previously heard, almost guaranteed. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And lots of diversity. So there'll be things that are, you know, fairly traditional instrumental writing with electronic accompaniment. There'll be things where people have built custom, like on the Saturday night concert, Alex Christie has a custom lighting array that he's built and he's bringing in. And so it's like a performance with lights that he's doing with, something he's built. Sam Pluta, who's coming from Chicago, is doing a piece with analog TV sets that he's hacked into and manipulated. So there'll be a wide variety of diversity and exciting things. And it'll be, you know, lots of stuff that you've never seen before.
Are these ticketed events or are they a free?
They're all free and open to the public.
And most are held in the School of Music at the Dalton Center Recital Hall, or?
All 5 at the Dalton Center Recital Hall.
Fantastic. Yep. Mm-hmm. So new music taking over the School of Music at this Friday and Saturday. It's called the Splice festival, and splicemusic.org is where to find the entire lineup. You could really just get an amazing array of the activity and new music just in 2 days here at Western. These people you said coming from all over the country, including Europe.
One person from London. Yeah.
So, and tonight is also a really special night for the Advanced Jazz Ensemble with all new music again. Any final thoughts? Since I have you here, you've been a bit slippery lately because you've been all over out of town and traveling. And I wanted to, do you have any adventures to tell us about?
Yeah, I was in Panama playing at the Panama Jazz Festival for 2 days and then went to Cuba to play at the Jazz Plaza Festival in Havana. We played two gigs in Havana. Then we went, got another plane, flew to Santiago, which is on the southern part of Cuba.
Who were you with?
I was playing with a Canadian group called the Shuffle Demons, which is a group of three saxophones, bass, and drums. And it's kind of like free jazz meets funk in a way. It's a very lively ensemble. It's a lot of fun to play with. They're great musicians. It's a band that definitely has a shtick, but also the musicianship is really high. So it's a very interesting, fun group to play with.
Any other? What was Cuba like, for example?
It was really interesting. It was I'd never been to Cuba, so it was seeing the good and the bad of side of a very highly socialist regime. It's fascinating to drive on a major highway and not see any advertising or any billboards. There's no major chain. There's no fast food. There's no Walmart. There's nothing like that. It's all obviously highly regulated, highly controlled by the government. People are incredibly fascinating. The level of musicianship, there was a lot of obviously Cuban musicians that we heard, is staggering. Mm-hmm. I mean, the level of technical virtuosity is unfathomable. It's amazing. The last night I was there, we went to dinner in a restaurant and there was a saxophone player and a pianist, and the saxophone player absolutely blew me away. I mean, he sounded so good, and so I talked to him. I don't speak any Spanish. He didn't really speak much English, so we sort of tried to have a quick conversation, but never taken a lesson. Everything's YouTube, everything's recordings, whatever he can get his hands on. People bring him little thumb drives from the United States. I gave him one of my records. That's how he's learned, and it's incredible. Mm. I mean, it's really, really an eye-opening and in a lot of ways uplifting experience.
Well, you seem to have a real taste for collaborating, so who knows what might happen.
Yeah.
And are there any future concert dates that you're looking ahead to now?
Yeah, I'm going to Ecuador in 2 weeks to play at the Quito Jazz Festival, and then I'm headed to Managua, Nicaragua, for 4 days in March to play it. There's a festival down there I'm playing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew and Christopher, it's been great to spend a little time with you here on WMUK. I know you need to get back to the School of Music.
Yes.
But would you mind setting up this last piece by Ben Schmidt-Schwartz.
So this is a piece he wrote called Eleanor's Terrible Trouble. And we'll be playing this tonight with Chris, and it'll sound completely different from this version, but we hope you all join us.
That's tonight at 7:30 p.m. Details online at wmich.edu/music/events. And the tickets can be found at the MillerAuditorium.com box office.